He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council producing, Melody interning. This is Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, we are having a good morning. It's been a fun show so far. Got a little hockey in, got a little football in, got a little NFL in. Been sort of getting you all caught up over a very, very busy night in sports. But it's a busy day in Nashville, busy week in Nashville, because SEC Media Days are here for college basketball. And we wanted to sort of get an update for all of you guys, because I know many of you have not had your heads in the books on the college basketball world of the SEC. So to do that, we bring in one of our favorites. Frankly, if I was going to start a boy band, this guy would be absolutely the lead singer.
That's because he comes into town like a torrential downpour.
He does. He's the hurricane himself. Sean Farnham joins us from ESPN. Sean, first and foremost, thanks for taking some time this morning. When you talk to coaches today, are you going to get patted down for a wire throughout the course of the day?
Funny. The audio on demand segment, though, is about to just go through the roof, because I was listening, and you can download the audio on demand of each segment that you guys have. So this is going to be your all-time high. It's going to be the most entertaining segment that you have ever had on your show. The bar has been set high. So today I'm really hoping we have a lot of fun. Yeah. You know what? College basketball has been derailed a little bit, to say the least, before we start the season with this ongoing FBI investigation. A lot of today's discussion is not going to be about that. A lot of what we're doing today is going to be about trying to get sound and audio stuff that we can use throughout the course of the season on a lot of the games on Super Tuesday. I'm sure when the coaches go to their press conferences, though, they will be asked a great deal about the ongoing investigation that's going into college basketball.
Well, and quick follow-up on that, Sean. Do you think that the ongoing investigation sort of is going to play as a let's call it a dark cloud, like it sort of hovers over college basketball this year, or do you think it's sort of forgotten for people until it actually comes back out with any more news?
I think in our current news cycle, for most people, it's going to be forgotten about unless more news breaks on it, which I think there will be. But for those of us that cover the sport, this is definitely going to be a cloud that hangs over us. I think not only this season, but probably even heading into next season. You're dealing with a different animal here. I mean, look, it took 3 years for the NCAA to figure out nothing evidently went wrong at North Carolina, and $18 million were spent during the course of that investigation. Right? The FBI didn't get into this investigation to bring down, you know, a guy that worked at Adidas that gave some kid $100,000, or a couple of assistant coaches that got $15,000 on the side. When the FBI goes in on an investigation like this, they are looking to get hundreds of millions of dollars. They are looking for big ticket, especially when you look at the district that is taking care of this, the Southern District of New York. Those are guys that become attorney generals, head of FBI. So this is a case-making trial that will come out. And so they're going to take their time. They're going to be very diligent. They have the ability to do a lot more than what the NCAA would do in regards to surveillance, acquiring information. So because of that, I think that this is going to be an extremely slow process, and I think it's one that, unfortunately, we will be talking about for 2 years outside of obviously what the state of the game is overall.
So you really do the time frame is like, hey, we're just going to get like a piece of news like every 4 weeks for like the next 24 months. Like, you really think that's how it's going to play out?
I don't know if it's, you know, every couple of weeks or not. I think if it's going to play out as, okay, we're not done yet with our ongoing investigation. We're not done yet. And I think you're going to hear that a lot. Remember, they said at their last press conference that this is an ongoing investigation into college basketball. And you can see that the NCAA is trying to be proactive a little bit with the special Condoleezza Rice Council. The Pac-12 has set up a council as well to do an internal review of its conference and how it handles things. So I think, you know, again, I think change is going to come in college basketball. And from what can be seen as a very uncertain period of time for the game, I think there's still a lot of positives because change might come to the game. And that might be a good thing. At the end of the day, we might look back on this 4 or 5 years from now and be like, man, the system for college basketball is so much better than it was 5 years ago.
Well, it's hard to ask you about the state of SEC basketball without sort of looking at, hey, South Carolina involved in this, goes to a Final Four. Auburn, recruiting at a high level, looks like they got a better team this year, involved in this. Alabama's recruiting at a higher level. Missouri hires Konzo Martin and gets the number one player in the nation, recruiting at a high level. Kentucky we know about. So, like, there's a lot of positives here around the SEC from what looks like increased sort of talent and recruiting, and the league looks to be getting better, but it's like hard to ask these questions without sort of the undercurrent of what you just talked about.
Well, I think, you know, you have to take each situation individually. And I would tell you that the build-up process for the SEC has been going on now for like at least the last 3 or 4 years. because the influx of coaches. The conference has improved so much on the coaching front that more talent is being drawn to it. The exposure that the SEC network offers, as well as obviously what ESPN is able to offer as far as Super Tuesday. Now it's on Wednesday nights this week, a couple of games on Saturday every single week. There's a great partnership there that has increased the exposure of basketball inside the SEC. When you look at a situation like Konzo Martin, the new coach at Missouri, you know, he did hire Michael Porter's dad, which also brought in Michael Porter and his younger brother, Jonte, who reclassified to join this group of players this upcoming year. Now, some people will hear that and they'll go, oh my gosh, well, obviously that can't be right. Well, his dad was already on the staff at Washington. His dad has been a coach for a long period of time, so it's not like it's out of the realm of possibility. So they go out and they get a coach. Because of that, they get a couple of players. That's often how the system works. I think when you look at it, you know, influx of guys like Avery Johnson, obviously being a point guard, being a guy that has won an NBA championship, has been coach of the year inside the NBA. When you start bringing those type of guys in, yeah, you don't have to reach to see why a point guard like Colin Sexton would want to play for a guy like Avery Johnson. So although, yes, look, anytime a top recruit signs from now until this whole thing is done, everybody's going to have questions. But what I would say is this. If you like SEC basketball, you're going to love this season because this has been a build-up process now for a couple of years where 2 years ago there was only three teams in the NCAA tournament. This year I think there could be seven teams right now that are NCAA tournament teams. So that should excite and understand that we're going to see a lot of competitive games. Teams are going to take losses. And to be honest with you, too, the top of the conference from the standpoint of Kentucky isn't as strong as what Kentucky has been over the last two seasons in particular.
So we're talking to ESPN college basketball analyst Sean Farnham. And with that being said, Sean, felt like almost two seasons last year. During the regular season, there was such a conversation about is SEC basketball any good? And then we get into the tournament, and it stands out, and all of a sudden everybody says, oh, my God, keep an eye on SEC basketball. So going into this year, where does it fall in the spectrum to you?
I think it's a top three conference in college basketball. Could be top two. That's how good I think it is because of the depth of the conference this year. I think last year, you know, here's the deal. In order to change perception of your conference, there's two things that have to happen. One is you got to win in March. That's the most important one. The SEC accomplished that. They had more NCAA tournament wins last year than any other conference in the country. Then you come back and you say, okay, now you've got a little bit of traction. Now you've got some teams that are multiple teams ranked in the top 25, up to four or five in some of the polls that I've seen early on here by the magazines and the publications. So when that happens, now you need to have a good November and December, in particular from those teams, because those are the teams that people have expectations of. But if those teams all get off to a good start, now as you get to January, the idea of a bad loss goes away. And so therefore, you're building your resume all the way through. Now that improves seeding and opportunity for a lot of teams come March. And I think that's where the SEC's got to be focused right now, is coming out of gates fast, having teams avoid some of those bad losses, in order to have long-term success and be ready for March.
Obviously, I'm assuming that when the media vote comes out that the Kentucky Wildcats will be picked. They are even younger, which is hard to believe, than maybe ever before. Again, very hard to believe. Who are the top challengers there? I love A&M and what they've got. Florida, certainly. Who are the top challengers to Kentucky that maybe we don't see coming?
Well, you just hit on both of them. In fact, in my media poll, I did not have Kentucky winning the conference.
Ooh.
So I had Texas A&M winning the conference, and a big part of that is because of experience. And they're a team that a lot of people aren't going to remember from last year, and a big part of that was point guard play. They turned the ball over 23% of their possessions on the season. They had a lot of two- or three-possession games where they lost that are going to turn around this year. J.J. Caldwell is a very talented point guard, unfortunately suspended for the first five games of the regular season, so you're not going to get a good sense really until late November, probably middle of December, of what this team's going to look like. But when you return a guy like Robert Williams, who could have been a late lottery pick to early 20s in the first round of the NBA draft last year, and he comes back to campus, and then you still remain with guys like Tyler Davis, who was there for that Sweet 16 run and is a heck of a college basketball player, DJ Hogue, who can really shoot the ball, Admon Gilder moving back to a position that he's more comfortable in as a two-guard versus having to be a lead point guard. You've got a transfer from Marquette and Wilson. You've got a young freshman that's 6'7", that's a top 100 kid in Savion Flagg. I really think that they're going to be a team that is going to be able to compete all the way through. And because of their experience, I would give them an edge over Kentucky right now. That doesn't mean that Kentucky's not going to be there at the end of the season. It just means that right now, in my eyes, when I look long-term, I put a little bit more of an emphasis on experience. And I think it's the same thing when you look at Florida a little bit with Chioza and Kayvon Allen, who's the best scorer returning in the SEC. And then you add in a John Igbunu, who's supposed to be back in January from his knee injury that he suffered towards the end of last season. They've got a top 100 class. They also have another kid out until January with a knee injury, Isaiah Stokes, who was a top 100 kid. But I like their experience. And I think when you look at recent history in the NCAA tournament, in particular at Final Fours as well, there's not a lot of one-and-dones. Last year there were 2 one-and-dones in the entire Final Four, and neither one of them started, and neither one of them were expected to be one-and-dones when the season started. That's Zach Collins from Gonzaga and Tony Bradley from North Carolina.
So, Sean, I know we got to let you go, but real quick, what are your thoughts?
You don't have to. Well, I can stay with you.
You want to stick around another segment?
Why not? If you want me, I'm here. I mean, we haven't even talked about Kenny Chesney yet. We haven't talked about...
No, we don't want you. Never mind. Just kidding. Don't want you.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, if he has a Zeke Elliott take, I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, Sean.
Okay, Julian wants to hear your Zeke Elliott take, so...
All right. I am somewhat puzzled because I have him on my fantasy team, so he's out of the lineup, he's in the lineup, he's out of the lineup, he's in the lineup. These are the things that matter most to me. I know he hasn't rushed the ball as well as he had a season ago, and his numbers are down, but quite frankly, I need him for my fantasy football team right now, and my team is 2-4. I got Amari Cooper, who hasn't done anything, Derek Carr, who's far below par right now, so I need somebody to spark my team. So if I can squeeze an extra week or two before the suspension goes in, I'm taking it. I need some dubs. That's what I need right now.
Sounds like you need to quit fantasy football is what it sounds like you need to do.
I'm addicted to it. It's a family league. Do you know how much trash is spoken in the Farnham family fantasy football league? It is ridiculous.
Guys, follow him on Twitter, at Sean Farnham. Sean, always keeping the tractor sexy, my friend. We appreciate your time this morning. You like that Kenny Chesney reference? I got that in for you.
Yes. And by the way, do you know I went and got a workout in this morning just to make sure my tractor is extra tight for media day today?
It always is, my friend.
I have no desire to ever hear anything about your tractor ever again.
Follow him on Twitter. Sean, thanks for taking the time, man. Enjoy Nashville.
All right, fellas. Have a great show.
What the hell just happened?
Tractor sexy talk. That's what happened. We'll
it's
break
a good
down...
basketball league, folks. Yeah, it's a good league.
It is a good basketball league. We'll tell you a little bit more about it. And also, while we're on college sports, there's a college football playoff chaos theory you have to hear. It will make your brains explode as SEC fans. We'll do all that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.